latest on gadgets and stuff with KFI's resident handsome nerd.
It's Tech Tuesday with Rich DeMuro.
KFI AM 640. Bill Handel here on a Tuesday morning, May 17th. And as always, Tuesday around this time, we have a Tech Tuesday couple of segments with our tech reporter, Rich DeMuro. His Instagram address at Rich on Tech. That's where you reach the infamous Rich DeMuro. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning to you, Bill.
You didn't know you were infamous, did you?
Well, you know, I'm on this show. So
yeah. Well, there you figured. Go. All right. I want to start with some of the worst news I've heard in a long time. Why? Because it affects me. And when it affects me, you know how upset I get. Verizon is about to raise its prices. And since I am a Verizon customer, I am not particularly happy because it's already among the most expensive providers of cell usage anyways, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. When you're on Verizon, a standard Verizon plan, you are paying among the most in the wireless world, maybe next to just AT&T. You know, those are the two most expensive brands out there. Now, believe me, I think Verizon has a great product. I think that they charge a lot of money for that product because they know that they've put a lot of money into their network. So I get that. But like you said, they are raising prices starting next month, an additional $1.35 per voice line. So I know, doesn't seem like a ton of money, $1.35, okay. But here's the thing. When you add this up for Verizon, they have over 100 million customers. You're talking $1.35 times each one of them. By the way, times each voice line. So if you've got a family of four, that's times four. If you've got two lines like I do, that's two. Two times $1.35, that's $2.70 a month. Okay, not a big deal, but guess what? Every other bill has been going up. We've seen Netflix raise its prices by $2. We've seen HBO Max raise its prices. We've seen Amazon Prime raise its prices. Just about everything has gone up in the past 6 months to a year, and this adds on top of that.
All right, couple questions. First of all, I knew I was overpaying for Verizon because when I get a bill in my name, they actually use the word schmuck somewhere in there. Now, let me ask you, you had said that Verizon has a great product. They have a lot of infrastructure. How about these commercials that I see for other low-cost plans that have the same coverage? Are they piggybacking on the infrastructure that Verizon and AT&T has?
Yes. So a couple ways. So number one, like you said, so Verizon said a couple months ago that they spent a lot of money upgrading their 5G network. And now, of course, they want to pay for that. They also made $4.7 billion in profit in the first quarter of this year. So just to give you a little preface with this stuff. Now, like I said, Verizon does have a very good product. I would say neck and neck with AT&T. And then T-Mobile, they have a decent product as well. So with these other third-party carriers that you're talking about, the Mint Mobiles of the world, the Visible Mobiles, the Spectrum Mobiles, they are all cheaper. And yes, they piggyback on these networks. There's only three major networks in America: Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T. That's it. Every other carrier you see advertised is somehow riding on one of these networks. Now, with that in mind, you can get cheaper, but there are things that they cut in these cheaper plans. For many people, not a big deal. So, for instance, I'll give you some of my recommendations. If you want a very straightforward, cheap plan that doesn't get you in a lot of different ways, I think Mint Mobile is excellent. It runs on T-Mobile's network. The difference is it's like Costco. You pay in bulk. So you pay for 3, 6, or 12 months in advance. And you can pay 12 months of data for $250, $300 for the entire year. Never look at a cell phone bill for the whole year.
Who's going to say no to that?
No, not a lot of people. But, you know, and there are some restrictions, like you may not have international calling or texting. But again, for the average person, a lot of these features that are on these big, giant, unlimited plans for $90 a month, you don't need. Okay, another plan that I really like, if you want AT&T, they have a special unlimited plan that's only available at Walmart that's $45 a month for everything. And that includes a hotspot, That includes premium 5G data. But again, it's only available at Walmart, and you rarely see this advertised. You're never going to see a commercial on TV for that plan. You have to be walking in Walmart and say, $45 for an AT&T unlimited plan, what? That's pretty good. And then you have to do some research, and then by that time, you leave the store and you probably forget about it, and you go home and you pay your $90 bill. If you want Verizon's quality network but on a cheaper plan, there's a company called Visible that is owned by Verizon. It's a company that they started a couple of years ago, and they do unlimited Verizon plans for about $40 a month.
Which is half.
Which is half. Bill, you can get it even cheaper at $25 a month if you sign up for their Party Pay program. $25 a month, unlimited Verizon. I know a family member that has this, and it is great. It's the real deal. Now, again, some of this...
What does that mean? What is Party Pay?
Well, okay, it's kind of complicated, but basically you just join in on... It's kind of like a family plan, but without having a family.
So. Oh, okay, that's cool. So it's not a party line where everybody talks at the same time.
No,
that would be fun.
That would be... You know, they had this phone at Disneyland. I was there a couple weeks ago. That was like one of those old, you know, phones you put up to your ear like that.
Yeah.
And I remember it brought back memories of my grandma's house that actually she had a party line.
That's hilarious.
You pick up the phone and they say, I'm still on. Can you pick up later?
Oh, that's so
and
funny.
Let's wait.
Let's talk about medical procedures. This is an important one. And one of the things we don't know in this country is how much your medical procedure costs. You know, when you find out, when you get your bill and you find out those two aspirin tablets they gave you in the hospital were $43. And then you get the bill, then someone collects, then they threaten to nail your credit. It's just completely crazy. So there is now a website out there that helps you can compare medical costs. You can actually shop, and that makes all the sense in the world. How do they get their information, by the way, on that one, Rich?
Well, Bill, it's all thanks to some new laws that I think they were passed a while back, as typically they are, and then these hospitals have some time to comply. But, you know, they fought this. Of course, they did not want this to happen because hospitals have no interest in letting us know how much procedures cost, because then we realize that if you go across the street, something could cost thousands of dollars less. And I tweeted yesterday how getting tonsils removed could cost anywhere from a couple thousand dollars up to in the tens of thousands of dollars just by comparing the difference. So anywhere from $2,800 to $35,000 to have tonsils removed in the LA area. So this is a new website. It's called Turquoise Health. And so what happens is the law, federal law, required the hospitals, I think by July 1st, they have to comply with this, but they have to post their prices on their website. And so what do the hospitals do? They make it really complicated. They make it as a PDF that you have to download, you know, 300 pages. They make it so that no human could ever want to go through and see how much it's going to cost for something to happen at this hospital. So what these startups are doing, like Turquoise Health, is they are going through and parsing the information and making it easy to understand, easy to search, easy to slice and dice. And so if you go to this website, it's turquoise.health. You type in a procedure, you type in your zip code, and it will tell you exactly how much those things cost at hospitals near you. I think it's brilliant.
Well, it is. You don't know the quality of the doctors at this point. You know the ratings or what the patients say about the doctors, certainly their success-failure rate. So there's nothing that is that extensive that also includes the quality of the healthcare and the reputation the facility and the physician have, right?
Well, they've got some of these search filters, like they've got Medicare, I guess, rates some of these things. So they've got the Medicare rating built in. They've got verified providers built in. But the reality is, like, that's another problem that you're talking about, is that these providers of anything, you know, there's some third-party ranking systems out there, but it's really tough to kind of see. It's not like there's a Yelp for doctors. I mean, I'm sure there is, but there's nothing that's as widespread as I'd like it to be. When you're looking up doctors, you kind of Google search them. You see, you talk to friends. I would gather that, you know, a majority of people find doctors based on either just a search of their healthcare insurance website, which basically has no ratings, or just asking a friend, hey, who's your favorite dentist? Or, you know, you had a doctor do this? Okay, give me their number. But I think we need to see more of that as well, of the ratings and also some standardized ratings of doctors and the care that they provide. Like you said, the success rate of these procedures, too.
Yeah, and just a quick one, the success rate, this is having been in the field for a very long time, my legal practice had to do with the medical end of life, and that is originally... And I knew a lot of IVF doctors, the cost for their procedures. Remember the old phone books with all the numbers on them?
Yep.
They would take them, put them on a wall, and just throw a dart. And that was what the cost for that procedure that day was. And one of the things I talked about when I had heart surgery, and that is looking at which doctors are the best. So there's a guy out in Palm Springs who's world renowned, and I look at his success rate, and he had more people die. I'm going, what's this about? Well, he happened to be so good that all the other cardiologists sent him these insanely complicated cases that if they tried it, it was a virtual death sentence.
So there's nuances there that these rating systems may not pick up. That's what you're basically saying.
Absolutely.
Here.
It's so complicated that this is one of those things where truly you need a very, very large database. And I don't know if someone's going to do it. I certainly hope so, because this is such a huge issue for us.
Healthcare in America is amazing. At the same time, it's the most frustrating system in the world. We have access to the best care, but it is very tricky. And if you don't have insurance, it's even trickier, which a lot of people don't. And not just that, we're seeing so many startups in the tech world tackle insurance, tackle healthcare, and we're just at the beginning of this. So I think, you know, we'll see more of this, but there's a lot in their way. You know, these hospitals, these companies are very big. And whenever you have that kind of, you know, momentum against you, it's tough. You know, it's very tough to make change.
Yeah. All right, local story. We've been talking about autonomous cars that are being used for food delivery, and we know that they're on campuses all over the country. We've got something going on in Santa Monica right now. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, so up until now, what you're referring to has been autonomous robots. So these little bots, they've got them on the UCLA campus. They've got them in Hollywood. You might have even have seen them on the streets. I saw them driving down the road the other day, and they're just little robots that are making deliveries all over LA at this point. But now it's going to be cars. And so this is the first time that Uber Eats is using autonomous cars to deliver food, like you said, in Santa Monica. It's a place called Creation Cafe with a K. It's kind of a health food spot, Bill. I don't know if you've been.
No, I don't do health food.
Their hummus veggie wrap,
oh,
no?
Oh, please, for God's
Green
sake.
Green juice?
No. You know, I'd rather have gangrene than have one of those green juices.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So they're using Hyundai Motional all-electric cars. So that's nice that these cars are all electric. Basically, the electric car autonomously pulls up to the back of the restaurant. The restaurant loads up the food in the back seat. The person who ordered it gets the car to the front of their house or wherever, and then they get a code on the app, or the app, I guess, helps them unlock the car. They just pull their food out of the back seat, and they're on their way. This, again, is through Uber Eats.
Yeah, I'm assuming then these cars, these electrical vehicles that are on the street with no driver are now fully licensed in the state.
No. So that's the thing. I don't believe – I need to go out here and check this out personally, but I believe right now there is not – you know, you have to get this exemption from the DMV to do fully autonomous driving, especially with deliveries of food. So I'm guessing that there is a safety driver in this car at this point. And again, this is a pilot, so they're still testing, seeing what works, what doesn't work. You know, if someone were to get into this car, could you imagine? I mean, I'm guessing that they've outrigged the backseat of this car so that a human couldn't crawl in there. Like if your 2-year-old kid is sitting there with you, or 3-year-old, you know, jumps in when you're not looking, that would be a problem. So again, this is a test, and they're going to try to figure out all kind of possibilities for this food delivery. But of course, you know, Uber and a lot of other companies trying to make do with less people, and robotics and autonomy is the way they're doing it.
Oh, yeah, it's the way of the future. So if you see some guy driving around reading a newspaper on the right-hand seat, either it's an auto, just autonomous car, or the car is about to hit you and you're going to die. I guess those are the two choices.
Yeah, one or the other.
All right. Thank you, sir. Rich DeMuro, KTLA's tech reporter and our tech reporter. His Instagram address, at Rich on Tech. That's where you find Rich DeMuro. Rich, you have a good one.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
All right, we'll catch you on Channel 5.
Handle on the News. Late edition.
Handle on the News.
And now, here's Bill Handle.
And good morning, Bill Handle, morning crew. Tuesday, May 17th, a fair amount of news to cover, to say the least. And let's do it. First of all, I want to remind you that Handle on the News Late Edition brought to you by DirectBuyers.com, the hassle-free way to sell your home at a fair price in 10 days or fewer. DirectBuyers.com. Okay, I did that. Now, let's move on. Jennifer Jones Lee, Wayne and Me, lead story. Well, the president is in Buffalo right now with the First Lady at a memorial where flowers and sort of a makeshift memorial outside the supermarket. He's scheduled to meet with the families of the victims privately, first responders, local officials, and at 10 o'clock our time, scheduled to make some public remarks. No surprise. When something like this happens, clearly the president has to go. And otherwise, and the president is going to get nailed by the far, far right people that are against the president for a photo op. And if he doesn't go, he gets nailed by a whole bunch of people on the other side for not going and not caring. Man, you can't win as president. You really can. You really can't.
All right. I know that a lot of times you will have shootings based on copycat attacks, but I haven't heard a lot about plagiarism, except in this one where you've got this research fellow for the program on extremism at George Washington University who looked at the 180-page letter that apparently was written by the shooter, the 18-year-old in Buffalo, and he noticed that the 18-year-old seemed to plagiarize a document that was written by the 2019 Christchurch mosque shootings people, and that portions of it were very similar. And so it's interesting to me that not only did he plagiarize the ideology, if you will, in the way that he did an attack this way, but he also tried to use some of the, the radicalizations behind it verbatim in his letter about what he was doing.
Yeah, I'm going to do more about this coming up after the news. Up at the top of the hour, because it was more than that. The live streaming part of it, it was a copycat streaming from the shooting at the mosque. So we'll cover that, or I'll cover that at 9 o'clock. Really interesting story.
I'm going to gloss over the headline part of this story. The shooter at the Taiwanese church in Orange County had been employed as an armed security guard at a few different companies and was, had a permit to carry a firearm. Not that much interested in saying any more about him, but I'll take this opportunity. I was surprised to learn how deeply embedded in the community the hero of this incident, Dr. John Chang, the man who, ran at him and tackled him and absolutely saved lives, how deeply embedded in the community he was. He was the primary care physician for one of my former colleagues at the feds. And he was the martial arts grandmaster for one of my friend's friends. And I have this circle of friends I communicate with regularly. And this guy was a direct or one removed part of a lot of their lives down there in Orange County.
Yeah. That's two bad. Kids. And it's just an extraordinary man, for sure. And is credited with being a hero. And we bandy the word hero a lot. Everybody's a hero. A few times it's genuine. This is a genuine description of Dr. Chang.
All right. I have not heard any reports of, say, a nanu-nanu or anything like that. But there are 144 reports of what the government terms unidentified aerial phenomenon. And this is what we're learning out of the first couple of hours now of this House panel. And it's the first time that we've had a public House panel like this, I think in like 50 years. And so this hearing today, there was a statement by, I think, one of the leaders of the hearing that said the American people expect and deserve their leaders in government and intelligence to evaluate and respond to any potential national security risks, especially those we do not fully understand. But is that a risk?
No.
If we don't know that it's a risk?
I don't think it's a risk. It's Martians flying around that have no desire to kill us.
I mean, I guess if it's a drone from Russia,
we would know that.
Do we know that?
Yeah, we would pick that up, I think.
We'll see.
We wouldn't. And when you have a drone from Russia, are they, well, you know, you could theoretically have a drone from Russia, but they're not going to be 40,000 feet in the sky. Maybe they're
Or maybe they could be the size of a bug or something like that. And maybe we wouldn't know. I mean,
That means very, very small Martians. And we're talking about little teeny, teeny guys. And I don't think that's the case here.
Well, I just think on the, I think from the aspect of are there Martians and are they ready to come kill us, that part feels a little far-fetched. But is there stuff out there that we don't know about that could be from other countries monitoring us or something like that? That, I think, is the part of the could there be a danger out there that I hope that they discover?
No, theoretically, that's the case. But people are going for the aliens.
Oh, 100%.
You know, take me to your
leader.
It's
way more sexy.
You know, and then they're talking about a glass bottle. So,
well, not that aliens are sexy. Wait, gave me the look. That came out wrong. Yeah. I meant the storyline.
Oh, Elon Musk, what are you up to? Now he's publicly saying that the deal to buy Twitter might not happen because he wants them to prove that their fake and spam accounts are less than 5% of their total accounts. That's one thing. Then he floats these ideas that, I don't know, it could be 20%. It could be 80%.
And he does it publicly.
Yeah.
Asking for it is legit.
And then the price, I think the stock went down, I want to say 17%, something like that, a significant drop. He's already made the offer. I don't know what tanking the stock price does for him.
$1 billion that he loses just walking away from the deal.
But he really seems to be trying to tank that stock.
Yeah, weird.
Or cast huge aspersions on it before he buys it. Maybe justify what he's going to do with it after he buys it.
It's a set price that they have agreed to. Now he's saying, wait a minute, it's a question of misrepresentation. And if it is, I think he can walk without paying the $1 billion. So one of the questions is, does he just want out?
Well, he says that he'd be willing to pay a lower price.
He's got offerer's remorse.
Yes, that's what it sounds like.
All right. Well, then that all makes sense. Then everything he's doing makes sense.
Yep.
He tanks their stock price and then he says, hey, what I offered you before is so far over your valuation.
Yep.
We got to renegotiate.
Yeah. Yep.
But then doesn't Twitter go, please get as far away from us as possible and never speak to us again?
Yeah. You know what? I just don't find him very bright just because he's the richest man on the planet. It just doesn't have those kinds of brains, does he?
No, I think he does.
Of course he does. It's me being sarcastic.
Hey, Jen, do we know anybody else who is super, super smart, but also a super weirdo?
Wayne, I don't know whom you'd be talking about.
I can't think of it.
Who are you talking about?
Okay, let's move on.
Oh, this is such a sad story. So 13 years ago, a woman named Brittany Drexel was in Myrtle Beach, and she was walking around, last seen between hotels. She was just there vacationing, and all of a sudden her boyfriend starts realizing, hey, I'm not getting any more text message being answered from her. I'm not getting any phone calls or anything. So it turns out in 2009, Brittany Drexel was kidnapped, raped, and murdered, and now police believe that they have the body of this girl who was 17 at the time, and they found it several miles from where she was last seen. Her alleged killer has been arrested now. His name is Raymond Moody, and they believe that they did all those things to her. Moody was arrested May 4th on an obstruction of justice charge, but now they say that arrest warrants have been issued in all of those things for him on the night that she died.
Yeah, I'm assuming that he has been at least a person of interest from day one, but they just didn't have any evidence to nail him. And once they find they found her body, I think that put it all together.
Well, a group of masked protesters displayed a White Lives Matter sign up in Danville, California. The town's mayor calls it a cowardly act. It was the first time any of those people ever willingly put a mask on their face.
Good point. Good point.
Anyway, that's it. And this is, you know, a boring thing.
In a boring town.
Is it?
It's so boring. It is so Stepford-ish feeling up there in that area. It's just kind of ridiculous.
Well, this is a very low effort thing. You have Black Lives Matter, and then it's very low effort. If you don't like Black Lives Matter, you have whatever problems with it, to go White Lives Matter.
Yeah, and
it's not that your point. It's not that there's no point that can be brought up about some of the implications of Black Lives Matter, but to just go White Lives Matter.
And was the day of the shooting, right?
It was on Saturday.
Yeah, the day of the shooting in Buffalo.
This is also one of the richest communities in the Bay Area.
Huh.
I mean, rich. All right. So cops pull up. They get a call that a guy is driving drunk. And somebody calls in and says, this guy's weaving all over the place. He's going to kill somebody. So these cops in New Jersey are able to track down this pickup truck driver. In fact, when they get there, this pickup truck driver is lying in the middle of the street with his pants down. His keys are in the middle of the street. His cell phone's in the middle of the street. They walk up to the guy and they notice there's a little puddle in the road right next to the guy's tire. So they surmise, this guy got out of the car to relieve himself and then never made it back into the car because he just passed out in the middle of the road. So, in fact, they kind of start poking at him a little bit. So you're sleeping in the middle of the road. Your pants are down. One cop asks if the man's diabetic and the man says, no, not at all. Well, that was probably the wrong answer. This is all caught on their cop's video cams. All of a sudden, they reach into the guy's, I guess, they search his vehicle. And they reach in and find a police badge. And that's when you hear one of the cops say, the cameras go off. Then when the cameras come back on, they start referring to this guy as chief because he is the police chief of this city in New Jersey. And so anyway, needless to say, when they asked him in the ambulance, then I guess as he had an apparent head wound, the chief says he's very confused. And he says, I drove. I wasn't driving anywhere. No, you were peeing on your tire, sir.
Yeah.
Stop driving.
He's in trouble. They're treating him the way they would treat anybody else.
Yeah, you would hope
so. No, they're not.
He's arrested. Is he not? Do I have that wrong?
The point, yes, but the point of the story is before they knew who he was, they were treating him with contempt and mocking him.
Yep.
And then when they found out who he was, they turned off their body cams.
Turn off the
cams. And then they treated him with great respect.
Okay.
That's the way he was treated differently.
Now, let's talk about that for a moment, because treating someone with contempt and mocking him because he's in the middle of the road with his pants
That's your shtick. You should sue these cops.
Yeah, the whole point is that's not particularly police misconduct or excessive force.
No.
That's small potatoes. That's, you know, it's a story is because it's the police chief. So you and I are on opposite sides of that one.
Well, it's two different things. I mean, we're dealing with different aspects of the story. I guarantee you there's a lot of people who will say the contempt with which police treat them is not to be brushed away as inconsequential.
A guy peeing on the street with his pants down drunk in the middle of the road. Yeah, I would make fun of him too. That's hilarious. Let's move on.
You want to do this Jamaican guy as the last
one? No.
You know what? We're out of time, actually.
We are actually out of time. All right. Now, I want to talk about the shooting on Saturday. And it was live streamed. Remember? How many people you think are watching it and what happened to it? How can you can see it or people can see it now? I'll explain when we come back with that. This is KFI AM 640 Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.